Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast with Mare
and Stoss. And today we're going to be continuing our conversation about mental health and renewing our minds.
We are so excited to have our friend Brittany Moses on the podcast today. Brittany is the host of Faith Mental Wellness and a UCLA graduate in psych and research, which I love UCLA. I had no idea you went there, and then I was kind of stalking your Instagram and I was like, wait, she went to UCLA.
Yes, I'm a Bruin. Go Bruins.
Go Bruins. I love it.
When did you decide you wanted to go to UCLA and study psych and research? Like, what is your background and your testimony about mental health or just getting in more of your faith and stuff like that? Because I know you have a platform and you mainly talk about mental health, and it's really just encouraging. I was also talking last night. I was like, your stuff is so encouraging and just makes mental health less taboo in the Christian realm, I would say, because growing up I feel like I was in such a religious kind of atmosphere that I didn't know how. We talked about trauma, and we love talking like mental health overall, and we've had a previous episode of just our traumas and going through stuff that we went through, and we were like separating a lot of like religious and mental health stuff. And so we just want to know more of your story and your testimony and get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah, that is so encouraging to hear. Thank you so much for saying that, because it just, my whole goal is to talk about mental health in an accessible and relatable way, especially coming from a world of, two kind of cultures. One, the academic world, which can be very academic, a lot of jargon. I think a lot of people are separated from that world. And then two, from the church world, which is its own subculture with its own beliefs and ideas and cultural ideas around mental health that have happened over the years. So I'm so glad that it comes across as accessible. That means a lot to me. So where it all began with me. So I was born and raised in the church. My parents were ministers in the church. They helped lead with youth. So I was born and raised. They went through a divorce when I was around 11, 12 years old. And so that, I want to say with that, my faith kind of fell to the wayside a bit, kind of went my own way, got into just the messiness of life, was out drinking, partying, what have you, just kind of living
in a same. That relates to us too. In high school, I was the same way. I grew up in a Christian home, and it was more of to me, it was a religious cult. And I felt like it was very, you couldn't wear a certain thing. You couldn't do this. And I remember falling away from God in high school. And it was also because I felt like I was in this box where I didn't know how to have a relationship with God. I thought it was just this thing. I had to go to church every Sunday. And I eventually went into high school and I was the same thing as you. I was just going my own way, drinking. Yeah. And it was
It happens to all of us. We all go down that path.
Right?
At some point.
It's just I just like to refer to it as I was just living in constant escapism. There was also a lot of trauma happening at home. Not with my parents, but the people they ended up with at the time were abusive in various ways that we had to live with. And I, looking back, realized I was living in a constant state of anxiety and survival and in fight or flight, you know? Yeah. And so I had my own journey. And then I had my son at 18 years old. So I have a whole unexpected pregnancy story.
So precious.
Thank you. Oh, where I worked through that and being young and, just trying to figure out the world. And now I'm having this baby and, I think that led me to kind of try to get my life in order. I think that's a common story that takes place. It's I'm responsible for someone else. I need to really lay my foundation here. And it's so funny because I decided to start going back to church. However, it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. I think I was convinced that if there was a hell, I'm probably going at this point. And I don't see, that's how I felt, because it was just I can't do all, I can't do all the right things perfectly all the time. That religious mindset you were talking about, it was just so unsustainable. It was unsustainable.
Mm-hmm. It's that shame-based system that says that your spiritual performance you know, that either results in extreme yes. self-righteousness or a shame. And so shame is that result of the performance-based mentality. And it just only breeds, like, it doesn't breed actual yes. relationship and love. It just is, you know, it's not a healthy
thing. That's so
thing,
well so. Said, Meredith. Thank you so much for saying that. That's exactly, you know, what it was. However, I thought that my son could still be saved. So it was like, well, you know, when I was growing up, church was good for me. It gave me a foundation. It gave me this sense of accountability over my actions, you know. So I want that sense of foundation for my son. So that's kind of that basic morality that I was at. And in going, though, I mean, Christ really got a hold of my heart. The message just happened to be on scandalous grace, which is this idea that God's grace is so scandalous because it's, you know, it's no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, his arms are always open to you, you know, come to him and then he'll heal you, you know, come to him first as you are with what you have, and he will form you along that path, that sanctification, which really reversed mm-hmm. a lot of what my mindset was around this religious mindset.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So it was very timely. And not only that, but I saw the community at church and I was really drawn to that because I was lacking community because I was this newly young mom and my life didn't look like my friends. And you know what I mean? And I was like, raising a family, I was trying to work. So a lot of my friendships kind of fell to the wayside because my life looked different. They were out clubbing, exploring, off in college, you know, doing this and that. And so I was lacking community. I was lacking friendship. And I was very stuck. I was definitely going through some postpartum depression. And so I think I was also really drawn to that. So when I went to church, when I went back to church, it was one of those things where it was like, I don't know exactly what I need right now, but I know that I need this and I should probably keep coming because it feels good. You know, it feels good. Yep, this community, yep. Everyone, it seems just very lively. I see love, you know, and joy. And, you know, of course, no one's churches aren't perfect. Everyone in church isn't perfect, but it was that spirit, you know, that definitely captured me and was filling something that I felt that I needed. Yeah. At that time.
Yeah. It was like the freedom and the yes. fruits of the spirit. You're like, exactly. I want in on that. Yeah.
We've talked about like community in the past episodes about like yeah. mental health. And I've always said community is so yeah. important. If you are going through something mentally, physically, spiritually, like community is the foundation of, you know, being able to get that support to be able to keep going through whatever you're going yeah. through, or just like community having to fill you up and encourage you to keep on going with your faith. If you feel like you're lost in your faith or you're like right. questioning, you know, just, you know, coming from a religious background, I question yeah. a lot. I was like, you know, is this what God is, you know, like, is this how it's going to be without that relationship aspect? And so we would always talk about communities are the very important part of what, when you're mm-hmm. walking with God and for people to build you up and for people to keep speaking life into
yeah. you. Community got me through some of the hardest seasons of my life, looking back, like multiple times it was community. Yeah. And some communities you're only in for a season, but they really helped get you through that season and you're grateful for that, right? But going back to what got me into mental health. So after I basically, you know, came back to Christ, was born again, I became really on fire about my faith, right? Like searching the word for myself. I'm serving in kids mm-hmm. ministry and helping come up with the choreography for midweek kids Bible study. And, you know, I'm just diving right in, got baptized, was really excited about the Lord, really excited about this walk and the person that I was becoming. And so as I was serving, as time kind of went on, I got really invested in youth ministry. And I actually started my own youth and young adult nonprofit ministry that was dedicated around community outreach and leadership development. So time had gone on when I was basically overseeing this youth and young adult ministry. It was called Unashamed Impact at the time. It was like international. And I was also serving at my local church. And what happened was time and time again, I found myself encountering mental crises. Like I essentially ended up becoming a manager of mental crises, both in my organization and with the youth and young adults, and even some of the adults that I was encountering and working with, and just sitting with a lot of people, walking through their stories, praying with them, trying to help find resources, trying to de-escalate situations. And this was before I had any type of mental health training, you know, but this kind of overtook my life. And knowing what I know now, it makes sense, because research for over 20 years has shown that when a person's in psychological distress, they will go to their church or their clergy before they ever step foot to a mental health professional. So the church is really kind of the front lines of the mental health crisis. And that's why I'm so passionate about faith and mental health, because I do believe the church is a gateway for people who are really struggling.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's so true. Oh my gosh. That's really like, yeah, when people are going through like depression and people are, you know, dealing with suicidal thoughts, a lot of people will turn to the church to, you know, get answers. And I feel like we have the responsibility as the church to really steward that well and point people and be the leaders to walk them and ultimately have them rest in the finished work of Jesus, to enter into that rest. Working harder for the benefits of salvation. Yeah. The finished work of Jesus is it's entering the rest and not having to strive or prove or earn your way into, you know.
Yes, that. Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. And that's why I think that the church is such a solution to the mental health crisis. Also, because when you think about it, there's a church in like every community around across the country. So just imagine if every church was equipped in their community around just knowing the basic signs and understanding of mental health and having local resources that they can refer people to. Like that to me gives me a lot of hope, but it just means we have to have the conversation. But so encountering that, one, having my own challenges with mental health, because I did end up becoming a single mom. My son's father decided to go another way with his life. We were married and divorced very young. And my life kind of broke all the way down, you know, and I had to rebuild my life again. And I was also in the church and I was encountering the mental crisis in the church. And so I think I was looking for resources that could explain more of the dynamics of what was going on with mental health. But what I was encountering was like all of the faith-based or Christian resources were like very abstract. They were spiritually inspiring and helpful, but they weren't really explaining the how and the why and the practical side of things. And then when I would get these other books on mental health or psychology, you know, it didn't have the basis of faith or that basis that gives me hope or that basis of the thing that's outside of myself, which is what you have with Christ, right? Where it's beyond you. And like you said, you can rest in that in this finished work. So there wasn't a lot of balance. Mm-hmm. So I kind of became what I want, what I needed at the time, right? And that's that I started blogging. I started blogging about faith and mental health and like my experience and what I was learning. And it was at that intersection of time that I also decided to go back to school to study it. And I enjoyed my classes so much. The first psych course I took, I just felt graced for it, if that makes sense. A lot of the concepts clicked with me very quickly. It came to me very naturally and it made a lot of sense to me. And I transferred to UCLA as a 4.0 honor student, which said a lot because I was a terrible student in high school. I was a terrible student. I was the worst. So,
so you were, like graced for that specific,
looking back, amazing. I can say that I probably would not have put that together then, but, and then because I had been in church, because, you know, I'd read the entire Bible, I had the word stored in my heart as I'm listening, and studying biblical concepts and psychological concepts are coming together for me at the same time. Like they're tying in and they're making sense for me, how they connect and how they relate to one another. You know, we talk about renewing your mind, and I think about cognitive psychology and reframing, where we literally practice different thought patterns, you know. And,
oh my gosh, wait,
GDT, yes, right?
I was reading about that in a codependency book. I was like studying that and I was
fascinating. I mean, it really is the practical side of renewing your mind. It's like the practical way to do that.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was fascinating to me. And so then alongside going to school and being able to do research at UCLA, being able to be in a lab, do a thesis, I also would volunteer with NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, where I would help facilitate support groups in my city for those living with a diagnosis. And I became a crisis text line counselor, as well. So really just really wanted to have some hands-on experience. You know, it's one thing to be studying. It's another thing to be integrating those real life experiences, which I always say, I feel like most of my understanding comes from those experiences I had in the church, experiences I had walking alongside people. And my studies really just kind of gave me the language to be able to frame those experiences. When everyone's saying renew your mind, right? It's like, what does that mean? Like, what does that actually mean? You know, we throw it around a lot, but what does it actually mean or look like or practically look like to renew your mind? So I'm really interested in the practical side of things. I also think that's the research side of me. I think it's important to see outcomes, you know, like if we are practicing something, if we're trying something, but it's not working, then we need to look into like why that's not working.
We always talk about, Sauce and I really love the whole like analogy, and she can explain this better, but with how our thoughts are like seeds and our mind is the garden and the whole tree thing. Sauce, you can explain that really well.
Yeah, so I love Dr. Caroline. I'm sure you know who she is.
Yeah,
I have her books, and it was always fascinating to me because, you see, I grew up and my mom was always like, renew your thoughts, renew your mind. But I also went through a lot of traumatic stuff in my childhood, and growing up I struggled with mental health, and my mom was always like, just, you got to pray and read the Bible and that. But I'm like, what are the practical tools and tips? And I love how you say you're so practical about it, because we are human beings, right? We live on the earth. Like we go through things in life. And I always was fascinated in how to heal from trauma mentally, physically, spiritually. I mean, how to renew your mind in a way that it's like we can heal, like in all three aspects of mental, physical, and spiritual. Because I always was taught like, just pray and read and that's it, you're gonna be okay. And then I'm like, well, why am I experiencing like just anxiety or this feeling, and I don't know how to cope it in my brain, and I'm trying to understand my traumas and heal through that. So as Meredith was saying, it's like the thought tree that Dr. Lee talks about, where there's that toxic thought tree where it can grow and build into more branches of like toxic trees, or you can make that tree into more of a healthier tree and understand it, but not in a way of where, okay, well, I'm just going to push this down and pray it away and that's it. It's like, no, we need to be able to understand, you know, why we are thinking the way that we are, and how to practically and spiritually renew our mind and work through our traumas initially. So,
we'd love to hear like what you're like, if someone listening is struggling right now and they're like, I don't even know where to start, like what would you recommend? What are some practical things for like beginners? Because we get a lot of messages from girls that are just, they don't even know where to start.
I mean, as far as resources go, I have an entire resource page with immediate crisis lines and resources and websites, as well as faith-based, culturally-based. So I can definitely shoot that over to you guys to utilize.
Oh, yes, guys, it'll be linked in the description. Yes. We'll have all the links.
So I'll start with perspective, because I think that is really the first approach that I like to inform people about, is our perspective about mental health and having a holistic perspective. A lot of times we find that people fall into two camps, and this is kind of what we've been talking about. They're either in the kind of secular camp, or then there's this like 100% spiritual camp. And the secular camp, you know, is all about what's evidence-based in science, what have you. It is useful, but it doesn't testify to, you know, the hope that we have in Christ and outside of ourselves. It doesn't have that faith-based foundation. And then there's the 100% spiritual view, which is, again, everything is because of a spiritual root. That's where you get, you know, you just need to pray harder. You just need to have more faith or read more scripture. You know, there's these spiritual prescriptions, but it's not really dealing with the whole person as far as the practical side, the physical side. And something that I think those of us who are really passionate about this intersection of faith and mental health is having an integrated view. And the integrated view is looking at a biopsychosocial spiritual approach. I know that's wordy, but I'll break it down really quickly. So we are biological, right? So we have hundreds of thousands of chemical reactions that are going on in our brain. Even as you guys are listening to this episode, we have hormones. We have our nervous system. We have neurochemicals that are responsible for the feelings and for our feelings and behaviors. And so any one of those things can go wrong, right? We live in a fallen world, in imperfect bodies, and those things can contribute to mental health challenges. And then there is a psychological aspect, which is our mental framework. And that's going to be different for all of us because we've all had different experiences that have shaped us culturally, in our households, belief systems, how we view the world is gonna, you know, is gonna be unique to us and differ for us based off of our psychology. And then there's a social aspect, and that's what we talked about earlier, and that's that we are wired for healthy attachment with other people, for community. We are not meant to be alone, and we heal with others, and we grow and flourish with others, and that's a huge part of our mental health. And the last aspect is the spiritual, which is the one that we put the heaviest emphasis on, right, usually. And that's what do we really believe to be true, right? When we are tested by fire, so to speak, what do we ultimately believe to be true about God and ourselves and who he's called us to be in these moments? What is the objective truth outside of ourselves, outside of our feelings that we cling to no matter what's going on around us? All of these aspects are going to play a role in our overall mental well-being. And so we have to pay attention to that because on the flip side, it could be any one of those things that are affecting someone's mental health. And we don't want to ignore it. If God cared to create all these parts of us, which he did for a reason, then we should care to pay attention to all of them.
We are human and we need to take care of what God gave us. And it's just so... You know, it's just, I feel like nowadays it's kind of just in the Christian community, it's always just like, oh, well, and when I was growing up in the Russian community, it was more so like just mental illness was very taboo. It was very like, you don't have that. You don't experience that.
It's taboo. And then you add in church culture. And yeah. Taboo.
It's like, you don't have depression or anxiety. You made that up, or trauma is not a real thing. And so growing up into that type of environment, church, and now that I'm older, I've had this almost self-awareness of like, okay, yes, God is going to help me through this, but there are practical tools and tips on how to renew my mind and thoughts and rewire like my brain, you know, initially, and heal from traumas.
Absolutely. So, and we should utilize all the tools that God has given us to the benefit of our healing and essentially for us to show up in the world that he's in the way that he's called us to and in freedom, you know, and that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. But even just having that freedom of awareness of saying, of just knowing like, these are all the dynamics, you know, and I'm willing to address them. And I think that it's getting better, you know, thankfully this conversation is growing.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's why we're so grateful for your page and like, you know, you going to UCLA and like doing all this research. It's so important and to intertwine the spiritual and the physical and the psychological factor. What did you say? The bio.
And it really, a part of it was because I was serving in ministry and I felt like I kept hitting a wall, you know, like I was starting to feel a little, not hopeless, but in a sense, because it's like, there are people who love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, come to church, no scripture, and they're still struggling. And the problem is like when you're not giving awareness to these other aspects, it creates shame of what's wrong with me, what's wrong with my faith. You know, that shame begins to internalize, and that's, and shame is a cycle. It doesn't help anyone heal or grow forward. And so by having this awareness, we can actually help people heal holistically forward. And that's the motivation at the end of the day. It's like, I want to see people healed. I want to see people set free, and in a wholesome way. So we have to be willing enough to pay attention to all the dynamics of a person to do that. Now, we're not all therapists, right? Everybody's not a therapist, and everybody isn't meant to be, and nobody's supposed to be going around diagnosing anybody, or you know what I mean? But even just having that support, even having that support of just being willing to walk with someone, and even being able to walk with someone to find the resources that they need.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We will have all the resources and links to where you can get Brittany's Instagram and just all the stuff that she will direct you to the right place to go. We'll have that link down there. You can follow Brittany on Instagram at Brittany Moses. And we just thank you so much, Brittany, for coming and sharing just such light and truth, and just we're just so grateful for you and who you are and the work that you're doing in the kingdom, and we just so appreciate
everything you do. So guys, that is it for this episode. We love you so much, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.